but over the cross of the believing thief. You could write this inscription, the words of Paul, to be with Christ, which is far better. Now, this is the Christian hope. It is the Christian doctrine that when the breath leaves the body, the soul is immediately in the presence of God and of the Lord Jesus. You say, but where do you get that doctrine? Well, it's from the Bible. There are many, many statements, but we're going to see it in the conversion and the salvation of this dying thief. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we're on the air to bring you the message of the gospel today on this Easter Friday. And what a wonderful day to be remembering the death of our Lord Jesus. Yes, we will be preaching today on the dying thief looking to the Lord, saying, "Remember me." And we have a hymn, "The Old Rugged Cross." Now, just a few thoughts on the death of the Lord Jesus. I believe the gospel of satisfaction, because Christ met the requirements of full payment. Full payment was required of Christ when he became the surety of his people. When we talk here about requirements, there is a sense in which Jesus didn't have to offer a thing. He had no part in our sin or in the curse that came upon the human race. The Lord Jesus was in heaven as God, the second person of the Trinity. Nothing was required of him in that eternal state. But as soon as he made a covenant with the Father to become the servant in redemption, he became the servant of the Father to act as surety for his people. Yes, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. That's how God puts it. So the Lord is the representative of a people, God's people, all whom God would save from their sins. He would stand in their stead. He would act as their representative and do all that is required of them to set them free from sin. And so, on that very basis, the Lord Jesus offered up himself on the cross, and he did so willingly. He went not in protest, but silent as a lamb, passively, willing to lay down his life, because that was the payment required. That was the agreement with his Father, and he prayed, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Full payment required, of course, that he suffered for all his people, not just for one, but for many, many, and indeed millions of souls. And so the payment demanded of the Lord Jesus was infinite. No other word for it. And I trust that you will take it in today, what it meant for Jesus to die on the cross for you. Stay tuned with us now as we come to our hymn, "The Old Rugged Cross."
Deepest and best. Do you grasp and see that this was a tremendous transaction? Jesus suffering in your place, bearing your sins in his own body, and giving you, as you call on him to be your Savior, he gives to you his perfect righteousness. And so just as that dying thief was made righteous, hanging on the cross, he was made right with God, ready for heaven. You can be made righteous this moment. You can be declared white, right, saved, ready for heaven before you go out through the door of this church today. That is to see God's righteousness at work. He also saw God's kingdom at work, and he said, "When thou comest into thy kingdom." Oh, what a wonder, what a wonder. Wonderful faith was mingled in that statement. Let's turn to Luke chapter 23, Luke 23, and we will come to the verses that we're talking about here today. When thou comest into thy kingdom. So he saw God's providence at work. He saw God's righteousness at work. He also saw God's kingdom at work. Look at that. When thou comest into thy kingdom. What wonderful faith was mingled in that statement. The dying thief had a grasp of Christ's royalty even while the Lord Jesus hung as a victim of suffering on that cross. Even when he saw Jesus at his weakest, there came to the soul of this thief the comprehension, he's king, he's Lord, and he is entering into his kingdom. And the fact that he was Lord meant that he would reign, and he will reign over his saints, over his church. And Jesus would ascend to be with God, and he would sit on a throne, and he would intercede at the right hand of the Father. And the thief said, "Lord, remember me. When you ascend to your throne, remember me." But the Lord had even better news for him, because the Lord was also reigning on the cross. The cross was not Jesus in his weakness. The cross was Jesus conquering sin, conquering death, triumphing on that cross over Satan and sin. He was King of Kings. That plaque that was over his cross was true. The King of the Jews. And of course, this thief, something happened. His eyes were opened. His heart was opened. And he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Now, repentance will do that. Repentance will open your heart to see not just that Jesus is a good man, or that he's a good prophet or a religious leader, but that he's the king of a kingdom. And unless you are a member of that kingdom, you lose your soul. And a Christian is a member of the church, the kingdom of the Lord. And you need to be a member of that kingdom. And you need to pray the prayer of this thief. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And so it was a cry of revelation. And what an amazing change came into that man's mind and heart. What a difference it made to him as he turned from blaspheming, cursing the Lord, to praying, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." It was also a cry of desperation. He said, "Remember me." Now, I can't emphasize this enough, the desperation that this man felt. And, of course, it is a statement of his repentance. Now, I point out that the thief did not pray that he might escape the cross. He did not say, "Lord, could you pull the nails? Could you release me from this sentence of death on this Roman gibbet where I'm suffering? He did not make that prayer. But in his desperation, it was about his soul. It was about after death that he was praying. And he was praying for his soul's salvation. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I wonder, have you ever thought about where you're going to spend eternity? Where your soul is going to be the moment you close your eyes in death and the breath leaves your body for the last time? Where will your soul go? Jesus taught us in Matthew 10, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. This thief knew what his reward was. Let's go to verse 41. I need to go back to that and show you here again. This is Luke 23, verse 41. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. And so you see his desperation. You see that he was concerned about eternity. And he knew that in eternity he would reap the rewards of his evil deeds. Certainly he would reap the wages of sin is death. And he would reap the rewards of his blasphemy. Now what are the wages of blasphemy? Blasphemy is a sin against the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If you blaspheme the God of heaven, then you are rejecting him when you should be bowing down to worship him. It's also to break the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And no doubt those thieves had done that repeatedly over and over while they hung on the cross, blaspheming and lashing and gnashing their teeth against the Lord Jesus. Let me ask you, are you guilty of taking the Lord's name in vain? Are you guilty of breaking the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me? Have you ever bowed down to an idol? Have you ever worshipped any other supposed deity? Then we are guilty. And as we go out into eternity, we will reap the due rewards of that crime and that sin. And then for this thief, he also broke the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not steal. He was there hanging as a thief. Now have we ever stolen someone's property? Have we ever harmed someone by taking their things? Are we not guilty? And to go out into eternity as a blasphemer, as a thief, this man was desperate. And therefore he cried to the Lord, remember me. Now, if you know that you're a sinner today and that you've broken God's law and are guilty of these crimes, and you fear going into eternity as a sinner, praise God, there's salvation for you. Praise God, there is a gospel of good news that you can be delivered from your guilt, your shame, and be given salvation in an instant, just as this man, this dying thief. That brings me to the last major point here today, that it was a cry of salvation. Now, all of this is due to the Savior's wonderful statement. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, notice that it was a promise of instant salvation today. And the day was growing very short. It wasn't a 24-hour day even. It was just a few hours at most. And that thief would expire on that Roman gibbet, and the Lord had promised to him immediate, instant salvation. Now, notice that Jesus died on the cross first before the thieves. And so by that time, the hour when the thief would die, Jesus had already finished the work of atonement. And that thief would have heard the great statement of the Lord on the cross, "It is finished." He would have heard that. What was finished? Atonement. Complete satisfaction to pay the wrath of God and settle the account. That's what Jesus offered, cried, and pronounced from the cross. And the thief would have heard that. And he would have rejoiced. That means my sin too, because Jesus told me today, "Thou shalt be with me in paradise." And there on the cross with me, he finished the work and fulfilled the whole redemption. And so for him it was true to be with Christ, which is far better. Now you'll notice also it was a promise of personal salvation. The Lord said to the thief, "Thou shall be with me in paradise." Now, when the Lord gives salvation, he puts your name on it. Because there was another thief there that day. And if the Lord had said, "Thief, you're going to be with me in heaven," there may have been confusion, and this man may not have been comforted at all. But the fact that the Lord said, "Thou," and pointed out which one it was, and they knew who he was speaking to, "Thou." You see, the Lord deals one-on-one. And you're here today, we're a congregation gathering together to worship the Lord, but the Lord's speaking to your heart, and your heart, and your heart, and each individual heart. And he puts our names on the gift of salvation. He writes our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. I wonder, is your name written there? Have you asked the Lord to remember you, to save you, that you might claim this personal gift of salvation? Then I need to tell you that it was a blessed gift of salvation. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, paradise is a Persian word for garden. And in the Middle East or the Eastern countries from the Mediterranean onward, anyone that had a beautiful garden was looked upon as living in luxury. You remember Nebuchadnezzar and some of those great Persian kings. They had cities that were like gardens, flowing water and green vegetation and so on. And so when you would try and describe something that is heavenly and otherworldly, the word garden, paradise, would certainly come to mind. But you know what really makes this blessed? Listen to this. "Today thou shalt be with me." That's what makes heaven to be heaven. To be with the Lord Jesus. This is the promise that was given to the thief. I'm not just going to usher you into another realm. You're going to come and reign with me. And that's the preciousness of this great gift of salvation. That'll be better than any golden streets or pearly gates or any other descriptions we could give. But to be with Christ, which Paul said, is far better. Will you be there? Will you be in glory with the Lord Jesus? Now, I want to point out that this dying thief, converted, saved, sure of heaven, now in glory, he never had church membership. He never was a part of the New Testament church. He never was baptized. We don't know what religious connection he had prior to this. He may have been a Jew, but he broke everything the Jewry stood for. He was a guilty, wretched, vile malefactor condemned to death. Salvation is not based on our works. It's on grace alone, by faith alone. And you become a Christian not by joining a church, not by water of baptism poured over you or you put into a tank of water. Those things don't make you a Christian. You can be saved right now by faith at this moment. And then you start working, well, now that I'm a Christian, I need a church where I can worship God. And God commands the new Christian to be baptized, not to get saved, but because he is saved, to profess faith publicly, tell the world, I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus. That all comes later. But the issue of your own personal salvation, that needs to be settled, first of all, by faith and by faith alone. And you can settle that right now today. You can come to this Bible and you can open the Word of God and claim the promise. I'll give you a promise. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can pray. You said, Lord, you've given me this promise. I'm going to do what that dying thief did. Lord, remember me. Put my name into the promise. Save me. And you will be given absolute assurance of eternal salvation. But just like this thief, time is short and running out. I think we were all grieved this week when we learned the death of the former finance minister of our government in Canada, Jim Flaherty, a man who has stood strong in our government for many years. 3 weeks ago, he retired from his position, and then this week he died. Unexpectedly, suddenly, gone. He's in eternity. What about your soul today? Surely the Lord is calling you, telling you today it's time to get saved. It's time to be washed in the blood. And you have learned that Jesus was there not for his own sin, but for your sin. And that he took your place. And he is offering to you the righteousness, the perfections of his own life as a gift to you when you call on him to be your Savior. That is full, free, instant salvation. I plead with you to trust the Lord today. Make him your own Lord and Savior. And if you're in love with the world, if you're saying, but I love my friends, my sinful friends, my worldly friends, let me tell you, give them up. Choose Christ. Choose salvation. Choose heaven. If the dying thief had put his friend first, that other unrepentant thief, he would be in hell today. Don't allow some friend to drag you into a lost, hopeless eternity. Come personally and be saved.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak on this Easter Friday, and I wish you God's blessing, and I trust that you are believing in the message of the cross. Dr. J.H. Wilson once wrote, I was traveling some years ago with one of the most eminent Jews of our time, the late Dr. Capados of Amsterdam. He said to me, would you like to know how I became a Christian? I should very much, I replied. He said, I was reading my Hebrew Old Testament, and I came to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. I had read it before, but this time my eyes seemed opened. I began to think it was the New Testament I had gotten hold of by mistake. I turned the back of it toward me to make sure it was my own Bible. As I read it again and again, I saw what I had never seen before. Sin laid on another. And who could it be but the Lord Jesus? The end of that was that I became a Christian without the New Testament at all. I trust that might also be true of you. Helen Franzi Bauer wrote in the Sunday School Times, three crosses on a lonely hill, a thief on either side, and in between the Son of God. How wide the gulf, how wide. Yet one thief spanned it with the words, O Lord, remember me. The other scoffed and turned aside to lost eternity. Forsaken is the hilltop now, and all the crosses gone, but in believing hearts of men the center cross lives on. And still, as when these sentinels first met earth's wondering view, the presence of the Lord divides. Upon which side are you?
Podcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey. We want to give you and your family a warm invitation this Easter to our services in Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. We will be meeting on Good Friday, the 29th of March at 4 p.m. as we reflect upon the crucifixion of our Saviour and of food and fellowship afterwards. We also invite you on Sunday, the 31st of March, at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. as we remember the resurrection of our Saviour. There will be another time of food and fellowship after our evening meeting. We hope that you can come along, and we look forward to meeting you. For more information, please visit our website, cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you will find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and links to watch our services online. We warmly invite you to attend our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. You can contact us on our office number, which is 604-576-1091. Alternatively, you can email me, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, visit our website, cloverdalefpc.ca. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.